Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Listen, there's not a lot to report, but there are some things that I think are really important. First of all, the Pima County Sheriff, he decided to do an interview with NBC. And in that interview, he said a couple of things. I want to just touch on those things first and foremost. Again, we're talking about Nancy Guthrie. Nancy Guthrie, who reportedly was taken in the early morning hours. From my calculations, she would have been out of the house, disconnected from her Apple Watch because her pacemaker normally connected to it. The Apple Watch was seated on the nightstand. And so we know there was a disconnection from that, which is usually about 6 inches to 12 inches away. And I think at that point, I believe that was the abduction time. And so at that point, it was about 2 in the morning, 2:20 in the morning-ish. So that is the case we're discussing. We're going to continue to do morning reports on that until Nancy is found and a perpetrator is named. This is one of these cases that we just have to think outside of the box. Occam's razor would tell us to go in a different direction. We're going to discuss that just a little bit today. Yesterday, we discussed the non-Occam's razor route, but we're going to discuss the Occam's razor and why those aren't ferreting out. But first of all, I do want to touch on what the Pima County Sheriff said. And the Pima County Sheriff said a couple of things. One, he said the DNA, this is really important. And I had heard this previous, actually. But he said the DNA that was found inside the house has mixed profiles. Now, this is very interesting because does that mean mixed with Nancy's? And I saw some reporting. No, it wasn't mixed with Nancy's. It's unknown mixed. So I found that very interesting. Again, as you all know, I've said from the beginning, this was not a solo hit. I just don't believe this was one bungling burglar that decided to kidnap this 84-year-old. I just don't believe it. And I believe there were others involved, including likely the person that would have been driving the vehicle. And so in any event, I just wanted to report that these DNAs, he discusses them as a mixture, which means there's multiple profiles. Now, I saw where he said it could take up to a year. I don't know if that's accurate, but, and I know there's a huge issue when you take DNA and you work on it, and then you try to send it to another lab, and then the DNA degrades, obviously, because you have to use it in your sampling and in your testing. And so it becomes degraded as different chemicals and the different routines are used to determine the profiles. And so that's really disconcerting because it makes us wonder about, is it going to be useful if there's no conclusion reached by the lab it's at in Florida? Can anybody else, can Quantico ever work on it or any other lab? So I think this is not good news about the DNA that was found inside, and really concerning because that is a big lead. I've also said that a big lead was that Range Rover because they decided to seize it. They had tarped it because they obviously didn't want anybody seeing what was inside that back hatch. That's the part they tarped, and they took it in as evidence. I've always said that was a big lead, you would think, but the sheriff came out and said also in this NBC interview that they don't have any suspects. So to me, when they say that, perhaps that means that it's a dead end, that vehicle. And also the 40 names that were on the list that the FBI was going around to different gun shop owners checking against, does anybody recognize these photos or these identifications? Remember, a legitimate gun store or retail store that sells guns, they have to keep impeccable records. I mean, you have to be run through a database for your criminal history. They know the dates of birth and so on. So it seems unlikely to me that those records wouldn't have been quite obvious. And it seems, at least from what we're being told, that that seems to be a dead end. Obviously, if it weren't a dead end, you would think he would say, we have some possible suspects. Nobody were willing to name, something along those lines. Now, of course, there's been a lot of issues in terms of the communication and messaging from the Pima County Sheriff. And I always like to give a lot of grace. He has a lot on his shoulders. You know, I don't know. I know the investigators aren't sleeping probably at all. From being in their shoes. Is he sleeping? I don't know. He had time to go to a basketball game. I know that's a bit of a jab. Everybody deserves to have time off. I don't think you deserve to have time off in the middle of an investigation like that. That's just my opinion. I can tell you that most likely these other investigators and so forth aren't taking any time off to go watch a basketball game. They're just hoping to have a few minutes with their loved ones and their children. You know, I remember just being able to have breakfast or do something like that in the morning was a treat when I was in the middle of these. But other than that, you're just working this 24/7. A lot of investigators will even in the bureau, we know there's 100 on this case, at least that's what we were told. Whenever I was on a case and working a case that was an hour or two away, I always got a hotel room there. Because you just couldn't waste that 4-hour turnaround time. So you're really spending all your waking hours away from your family and your sleeping hours too. So anyway, sorry, I just had to give that jam to him because also I just think it's incomprehensible to me how he said the wrong date, assuming he said the wrong date. The whole reason that this date thing is bothering me, and I know in the portal, so I went on, you guys can go on. If you look at WFLA, they did a story about the portal and about putting in tips. If you go on to WFLA, again, that's a, I've always loved this station. It's a local station in the Tampa area. JB Bruno, he and I go way back to the Gabby Petito days. Anyway, actually, he had me on his show recently, too, which was very nice of him. I hadn't been on in quite a long time. But anyway, on there, you can easily find the link. I'm just giving you it. You can also go to the Pima County Sheriff's Office and find the link. Anyway, for me, I just looked that up, hit that link, and of course, it says 131. And according to the Fox reports, they say that they received information from the PIO, the public information officer at Pima County, who we're seeing now more, it's female, but her messaging has been problematic. I think I'm going to talk about that. But she says that that's because that's the date and once they wanted you to look for evidence. Where's the effect? I mean, it made no sense. You can read it. It's on Michael Ruiz's Twitter. If you want to read it, it's on my Twitter. I posted it. Wow. It's just makes no sense to me. What is evidence when they want the evidence to start, which by the way, wasn't even the dates they gave, right? They said, go clear back in for a month, you know, look at your cameras and things up to 2 mile area. So the messaging makes absolutely no sense. Just put the missing date in, right? If you want to do last seen as the missing date, I've seen that. You know where we came across this was in the Sebastian Rogers case. For those of you who tracked the Sebastian Rogers case, they had his missing date wrong for almost 2 years. The FBI did too in their missing poster. And I put it up. We talked about it. Kustin discussed it for several days. And guess what? I couldn't believe it. They changed it. They finally changed the FBI's missing poster to say the correct date, which was the 26th, not the 25th. So it's just really important because you need to know when they truly went missing, when they truly were last seen as well, which are two different dates. Obviously, they're not missing if they're seen. So when they were reported missing is typically the date you have on that. So that sounds like it could just be some irrational clerical decision. But for the sheriff to stand up there and say, listen, you know, my partners and I, we weren't there Saturday night together. It was just our office on Saturday night. Well, our understanding is it was Sunday morning that she didn't show up to church with friends and was reported. So that whole thing, it just makes no sense. He just needs to come out and say, wow, I don't know why I said that. It was a total faux pas. Or, you know, my question is, did they ever go out there on Saturday night? And is it embarrassing? And I'll tell you why I say this. Did any of you follow, and I'm still thick in it as things come out, the Tepe murders? The Tepe murders of the dentist and his wife who were murdered in their sleep by a guy named Michael McKee, who was the ex-husband of Monique Tepe. If you watched that, there was a similarity in this case. First of all, they had great footage, in my opinion, really good footage. And that footage specifically showed somebody that was pigeon-footed, somebody that, of course, was Michael McKee. It looks like Michael McKee, now that we know who Michael McKee is. And as I've always said in these things, when you know somebody and you're their loved one and you're around them all the time, there's no way you would not recognize the porch guy, just like Tepe was identifiable as well. So, you know, I think the footage is very important in both of these cases. And I think it will ultimately break the case in this case. But going back to Nancy and her situation and different things the sheriff has said. The mis-messaging about the night is so problematic because it messes up the timeline. And I wanted to point out also in that Tepe case, do you remember when it was reported, first of all, that they were missing, and the officer for the police department went to the wrong house. I don't know if any of you remember this. I put this all over Twitter. I put the footage. He's like whistling. It's so funny. And he's basically saying there's no problems. There was no problem because he went to the wrong house. Right? So then and that department, to their credit, owned up to it. They said, listen, he went to the wrong house and it was a big mistake. Not that I think it would have mattered. I mean, they were already dead. There was nothing that could have been done different except for the children who were left in that house, a one-year-old and I believe a four-year-old, you know, that had to endure even a longer period of time with their dead parents in the room next to them. That's a problem. It could have been, you know, resolved earlier if he would have went to the right house. But it made me give pause to this situation when he said, it was only my officers that went there Saturday night. Could he have misspoken that badly and literally thought it was Saturday night versus Sunday morning? Could he have? I mean, it's possible, but it made me wonder, you know, after she went in the house, did anybody call? You know, perhaps did Ann and Tommaso make a call? You would think they would run back over there. But did anybody in the neighborhood see something that we just haven't heard about? It hasn't been reported, and make a call that they saw something weird. And they went and did a wellness check and either went to the wrong house or went to her house, knocked on the door, didn't see anything odd and left. I don't know. I am just saying, for the commander in chief of the operation, who is making every decision about evidence, about personnel, about resources, about every aspect of this case, for that person to confuse Saturday night with Sunday late morning is confusing to me. And, you know, some people who are blue, you know, bleed the blue. I bleed the blue, everyone. If anybody follows me, you know I bleed the blue. That's all I've done my whole adult life, from an internship starting at the age of 21 until now, because that's still what I work. It's a big mistake, you guys. Never seen it. Never seen it. If you're the sheriff, if you're the SAC, which is our special agent in charge in the Bureau, we don't call them the SACs. They do in ATF and the other agencies, but in the Bureau, we call them the SAC. It's funny. I was on Cuomo the other night and I heard him call the former SAC of Phoenix, SAC Black, SAC Black or something. And I was like, you could see me. I like kind of chuckled and rolled my eyes because Chris has no idea that we don't call him SACs. It just came out funny. Anyway, again, I digress, but it's a Sunday morning and, I guess personalities coming out this morning along with some facts. But the bottom line is that it's incomprehensible to me that he could be that confused. Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. Now, a lot of people think he can be that confused because they've seen other messaging and we've seen it. And we're like, well, he's said a lot of things that are incorrect or backtracked on. So maybe. But nevertheless, could this other scenario that I just posed be possible, like what happened in the Tepe case? Got called out, went to the wrong house. Hours later, they go to the right house, and it's too embarrassing. Could they have been called out by a neighbor or something else about the situation, went out there, thought everything was good, and left? Could he be referring to that? This is total hypothesis based on his statement. So his statement is a fact. He said they were out there. So if we're going to believe him and believe what he said, that they went out Saturday night, that's why I base this hypothesis on. If he just completely misspoke, said the wrong time of day and the wrong day, then that's a whole other issue when your commander in chief is that off. All right. Don't want to belabor that. We're moving right along. Yes, I did the Michael McKee too. Not on the Google Trends, but I looked at that address, and I found that the address on the day that they found that he had done the reconnaissance was Google trended. I love Google Trends. I use it in every case. I used it in the Brian Koberger case, this case, and the other case. Any, most cases, especially a unique case like this. Mexico. Still, people are talking a little bit more about Mexico. Listen, it's just close proximity. The Mexican authorities say they're not looking for her, and there's really been no more follow-up. It just, I think, makes sense that they would continue to think, but this is my problem with Mexico. And I worked in Houston for 9+ years, cartels, that's what I did. And if she was taken there, I'm not even saying by a cartel member, I'm just saying by a porch guy. If he took her directly over there, which is a piece of cake to get over, as we've discussed multiple times, flash a license, sometimes you don't even have to do that. They're not going to search your car. They're not going to search your trunk. It's so funny when I talk, not funny, but it's interesting when I talked about this, they said, well, she didn't have a passport. How do we know she, I was thinking, no, everyone, she's in the back of a truck, alive, hopefully in the back of a truck, all tied up with all that stuff he had in the backpack, which I still believe was likely a tarp to go over her head, to cover her so she couldn't see what vehicle she was getting into, you know, different ties, maybe zip ties, maybe rope to contain her, to contain her feet, to contain her arms. Because at the end of the day, if you are to take somebody around in your trunk, which I don't think they would have put her in the vehicle, they would have put her in the trunk. You can't have somebody kicking and everything if you get pulled over or if you're going to go into Mexico. I'm not saying she was taken to Mexico, but I'm saying obviously it's possible. From the searches they're doing, it seems that they think everything is right within this 2-mile area. I mean, that's where everything's happening. That's where you see the sniffers. That's where you see these. Yesterday, they went back out and did another, what we call canvassing, going door to door, knocking on houses. Did you see anything? Do you know anything? Law enforcement was back out doing that. So when I see that, I tell you, it's literally one of two reasons. One, they're concerned that they missed something, that they didn't do, if you will, a good enough, thorough enough job. Or two, they know a new piece of information, and I think this is what it is too, that they know something new, either about a vehicle scene or something else, so they want to go back out and ask those neighbors again, but do you know about this? We know last time we were out here, we generally ask you about XYZ, but now we know about this. Do you know anything about this? So that's typically when you go back out, you have a new, fresh nugget of evidence that you want to canvas, re-canvas the neighborhood folks about. So I think that that's likely why they went back out to re-canvas. I want to talk a little bit about the private searchers. So initially, private searchers were told you have to get a permit. I'm going to tell you, in all the years I've done this, I've never heard of that. And I sing the praises I have from the beginning of private searchers. Once the scene is clear, and once you vacated the area, like with Rachel Morin, like with Kylie Rodney, you're done with it because you've said, I have used, or Brian Laundrie from the Gabby Petito case. Once you vacate, I mean, Brian Laundrie, they searched for 5 weeks and never found him. The parents found him within, just like that, walked straight to where he was. But you guys know my philosophy on that. I will always believe that that was an assisted situation. And I say that because he's right-handed. He was shot through the left temple. When you're making the most important shot of your life, you're not going to use your offhand. Second, his parents went straight to him. They knew exactly where he was. Remember, the parents also took the vehicle, leaving him stranded there, because I think that that was the day likely everything happened. And number four, we have his diary now where he talks about he can't do it on his own. He needed help. he was going to get two buddies to do it, but he was worried they were going to get put in prison if they, you know, were found to have helped him. So all those I put together to think that, but again, I digress. Sorry. These cases always are so interesting, and in some ways they intertwine. And this is intertwining because in the cases I just named, law enforcement couldn't find the people. Despite exhaustive searches with, you know, they didn't have signal sniffers, I don't think, but they had every other possible electronic device, motor vehicle apparatus, boats, everything you could imagine, sonar. And you know who found those three people I named, and so many more. There's a list, lists of them, is private searchers. They're very good with the equipment they use because they use it every day. It's what they do. They're nonprofits. They do it just to support their jobs. I've had them on here before because I'm so impressed by what they can accomplish. So for anyone to get in the way, I mean, any law enforcement, after a scene is cleared and after you've said we're done and we've looked, let them on. How is Madres Buscadoras de Señoras de Sinaloa, which is just buscadoras are searchers, mother, so searching mothers, and they're from Sonora. That's what that title means. Why in the world aren't you going to let them search? Fine, if you're still uncomfortable with that house, although now it's been released multiple times. I've talked about this, how there's been actually four searches, five intrusions. When I say five intrusions, when the locksmith went in, I think to add a deadbolt likely to the door that I think was likely breached that went to the garage and then from the garage into the house. I think that's likely how they made entry. When you look at that, that's just unfathomable. That one, it's like knocking down the house in the Idaho 4 case. It never made any sense. This will never make any sense. And really where it's going to come into play is someday they're going to get Porch Guy and who else is involved with this. And they've got serious problems now when it comes to litigation. But right now, nobody's really thinking about litigation. They're really thinking about finding Nancy. And that's why it's secondary that they've crime scene, uncrime scene. And when I say four searches, I just want to go through those. The police department was there. The sheriff's office was there for 20 hours, he said. I found specifically on tape where he said the amount of time. He says they were there for 20 hours. Then it was released. 3 days later, the FBI comes back in and they control it and then they release it. Then after that, the FBI comes back in, realizing they should have taken the car and they didn't search the roof and found that other camera. So that's search three. Search four, they come back again and they search the septic tank. All of this should have been done in one round. I'm not, you know, critiques can be, I'm just letting everybody know, and I'm not the only one saying it. This is a major issue. It's not a major issue in terms of that this evidence might help lead you to the perpetrator. It's a major issue when it comes to the prosecution of this perpetrator. And then finally, when I say intrusion, going back in, were the locksmiths that went back in. So again, all things that usually are fine when you can put crime scene tape around everything. Nobody's allowed in or out. For those investigators that go in, you don't trample through everything. You have a very set path that is least intrusive, that when an investigator needs to go in, they go in this set path. So you know, along this path and in this path through this house, that's where investigators are going with booties and so on. So, you know, I really fear, because this case, like the JonBenet Ramsey case, was treated as, you know, initially, I think they just thought she wandered off. And, you know, that's how they were treating it, as a missing person, not as a homicide, unfortunately, in terms of the crime scene. And so, of course, I fear it was pretty trampled as it was, just like JonBenet. which I think is going to be problematic, like I said, when it comes time to prosecute. Moving along, because I seem to be taking a little longer than normal this morning to get my points out. I want to address this question that was asked. So, Tinks, thank you very much. Appreciate that. The question is, there was a video that I posted. It's a short, and it's a video of, you should really watch it. It's such a sweet time. It, to me, shows the complete juxtaposition of growing up in that house, Annie and Savannah with their mom, Nancy, and it's right outside that porch area where the blood is and the bricks and everything. And I posted on there, did you catch it? And it's about the flowers, the vines. Now, he took the vines from the other side. They were on this side, but it looks like the same vines that existed, the shrubbery. Shrubbery type flowery vines, kind of. Vines is probably the wrong word. Shrubbery that he puts up against the camera, which we talked about yesterday. Was that really too obscure? Because he could have just done that with his hand. Or was that some other sort of weird messaging? Did he take it inside? I can only see a little bit left outside. So did it blow away? Or did he take that inside? Were parts of that ever found inside? Did it have a bigger meaning? So that's what was, do you catch it? Did you catch the foliage? So I always like to put things out there just, you know, for everybody to consider, because let's face it, you all are the people that serve on juries. You all are the people that decide the guilt and innocence of other people. You all are the people that make up grand juries and decide probable cause, no probable cause. So I value so much your thoughts and insights and what you see as well. Oh, thank you so much, S.J. Korber. Appreciate that. Let's see. I think I just had a couple of more points. We talked about so really quick, going back to those records on the purchase of guns. Right now, that seems to be a bust, that they weren't able to find the sale and purchase. But remember, a lot of times, they're just exhausting every possibility, and they should be doing that. I can't tell you how many times I always say it, said in law enforcement, it's so much better to be lucky than good. You can be good all you want, but you need that bit of luck, that bit of blessing. If you will, you needed Brian Koberger to screw up and not affix that knife sheath and have it fall off. They needed that for that case. I don't know if he ever would have been convicted without that. I really don't. So sometimes you just need some luck. I'm going to go to a quick anecdote. I'm sorry. I'm digressing a lot today. There was a case I had, and it was a Medellin cartel case. It was pretty much my biggest case. It was me, and I worked it with my partner, Rich, who was the senior agent. And then later, because he moved, it got, you know, I was 100%. Then I became the case agent, but he was the case agent. I worked underneath him as a partner. I learned so much from him. He was one of the best agents I've ever known. He could get so much done. He was so thorough. He was so meticulous. He taught me so much. I loved working with him. I'll give you his first name. His first name is Rich. He also, by the way, so interesting that we had a case that involved a heroin addict who was in prison, and she was one of our informants. She was pregnant. Ended up being pregnant, gave birth, and he adopted her little girl. That's what FBI agents do behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know about. Nevertheless, I bring that case up because when we took down the case, because everything went upside down on a particular $1 million money delivery with my informant, and we had to take the case down because of safety. We missed out on the top five Colombian ringleaders. They were from Colombia. They would just come in kind of like back in the IBM days, right? They're in charge way over there at their headquarters, but then they would come and check on a distribution operation. And so they were in Colombia. We lost them. We lost them all. And every few days, I would go where they used to eat breakfast. And they had been gone now for over a year. But I heard information from some other informants that they were back on the streets because they were very well known, very, you know, in their 40s, beautifully attired, you know, rich. They were like the guy in Scarface, if you remember, the guy that had the horse ranch that really ran the whole thing. They were like him. So anyway, the bottom line is, I kept going to this place hearing that they were around, and I got lucky. One morning, I went at a more late time because I would usually go on my way to work, but I went at more like 9 o'clock, and all five were in this little barrio restaurant in Southeast Houston. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is five DS2 calling all DS2 agents. You know, I'm at blah, blah, blah. All the Tios, Los Tios was the name of our case. All the Los Tios, they're here. They're here. Please come, you know, come help. And I broadcast that out. And then, of course, everything's going crazy on the radio because this is before cell phones. We might have one brick phone that, you know, I had a brick phone. Depending if you seized a brick phone, you could use it. They were like bricks and they sat in here, but it was ridiculously expensive. You know, I don't know how much per call. It was ridiculous. So you could only use it for a real emergency on a case. Anyway, I call and only one guy, they started to leave. And I was out there like, because everybody's looking at my car, wondering what I'm doing sitting in there. So I'm like stretching out against the car, just trying to look like a non-FBI agent. And I don't really look like an FBI agent anyway, so it worked out. And a guy named, I'll give you his first name, Kevin, he makes it on scene. And we literally go into that restaurant. You could never do this now. And even then I got in trouble. And we just, FBI, FBI, get down, you know. And we put everybody in that restaurant down. We lost two of them out the back door, but we got them in short order, like within a day. And we got everybody. The big dogs stayed behind. Again, they were older. They didn't take off running. It was great. And of course, they might not have even known why we were in there. I don't think anybody did. It was crazy. But we basically held up that restaurant until we could get help. And yes, I got in trouble over that. I did. I got an award, but I also got in trouble. So I still think it was the right thing to do. And they weren't armed. These were the people that really run the huge organizations that came in from Colombia. They weren't dangerous like that. They were dangerous in terms of they ordered everybody to get murdered, but typically they didn't have the guns in their hands. They were sophisticates. They had huge ranches and millions of dollars over in Colombia. So anyway, I've totally digressed off the Nancy Guthrie case, which is the most important case we're talking about here. So I want to put back on here search efforts. And this is why my belabored point is you never know what somebody might have left behind. You never know what piece of luck you might have that the Madres Buscadoras de Sonora or Sonora, that's the Mexican place, might find the Mexican state. You never know. And to me, I wanted to show those two gloves too. For me, for anyone to say permitting, and now apparently the permitting's off the table. Apparently now they're not going to get us to search any part of her land, which I've understood is about an acre. And they can search other people's property as long as those property owners say okay, which obviously that's the rule. That's always the rules. You have to make sure you have permission. But I sure hope they go out and search that desert area that is close. But I think it's a needle in a haystack in terms of the search in Mexico, just to let you know, when you go across that border there, you know, you think the Mexican federales are going to be helping? I don't think so. It's a very corrupt group. That's just the facts. Could they? It's possible, but they're saying they're not, and they didn't even get asked to help. That's what they're saying. Reports are the FBI did very early on alert them to this case. Listen, they're a mile and a half away, or I mean, hour and a half away. And like I said a long time ago, if this were my case, oh my gosh, meaning not my case, if this were me, if I were the bad guy, I would have gone straight with her in the trunk over to Mexico, whether it was because I was kidnapping her for ransom or because I was taking her there as a part of my evil and cruel plan to torture Savannah Guthrie and her mother. That's what I would have done. I'm not saying they did it, because law enforcement clearly seems focused on the area much closer to home. All right, I think that is everything. Oh my gosh, I talked 41 minutes. I want these to be 20 minutes. Apologies. The landfill search, let me just touch on this. So I had reported about a landfill search because there were reports about a landfill search. Even Fox put it out, and then I couldn't find it back on Fox's. So anyway, the bottom line is Fox clarified and said, listen, this landfill search has nothing to do with Nancy Guthrie's case. They had a helicopter that was doing some mapping. I posted all this on my ex Twitter to show it had nothing to do with it. And I'll tell you why. And I talked a little bit about Quentin Simon. Quentin Simon is one of the only landfill searches that I've seen be successful. And Quentin Simon, 13 days after he went missing, they found the footage of his mom, Lelania, throwing him in a trash dumpster in a trash bag after she killed him. He was 5 years old. And the minute they had that footage, again, it took day 13 to get this footage, they then had the FBI's evidence response team, this specialized unit that this is what they do, and they train in this all the time. This is their area of expertise. They went to that landfill because they had the trash dumpster. They knew that that dumpster was always emptied in this particular spot. And the problem with landfill searches, if you have a, just say, a 10-mile radius landfill, and some of them are huge. You should see the one in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. It's gigantic. It's a mountain, like many of them are. But just say for talk that you know what grid this is emptied in. You have that grid to work with, but not only east to west and north to south, you also have to work up to down because they layer. So this goes in and then this and this. So you can imagine after 13 days what they had to go through. 5 weeks later, everyone, in a landfill filled with the most disgusting, not only filth, diapers, rotten food, but rats and, you know, bugs and everything else that comes with rotten and decaying flesh and food. They found Quentin Simon. I'll never forget that day. And when I had heard about the landfill search, I thought, wow, this could be great news. This could be a real break, you know, that something was seen. But I can tell you, to just go to a landfill and randomly search, that is never going to work. The reason they were able to find Quentin Simon was because they had very specific information. But I do hope the Madres Buscadoras de Señora, de Mrs. instead of de the state, de Sonora. I really hope that they do a search in the area that the private citizens allow and in that desert area. It just can't hurt. What can it hurt? It can hurt absolutely nothing. And maybe the sheriff will soften on his decision not to let them search that acre-ish area where her land is. These are the gloves real quick. There's one there and there's one here. These were the two gloves that were found by the couple that they said had blood on them. And actually in one of the other pictures, is it in this picture? You could see a bloody rock. Nope, it's not this one. In any event, it took them forever to get it in. I hope they, you know, looked into it. But I mean, I don't even know how many gloves we're up to. We were up to 16. This would make 17, 18. And then I've heard more gloves discussed. I've never heard of so many gloves being in an area like this. But nevertheless, maybe this will be something that leads to something, because at least it was within an hour of, or I'm sorry, 1 mile, less than a mile from her house. Everyone, I'll keep you updated. I appreciate all these super stickers. Front door locked on the way out. I think the front door was locked on the way out. We know because we know it was shut. I don't know if it was locked in terms of somebody locking it. We just know it was shut. But I have always said that it was shut because we see the blood dripping in one spot that caused even a little bit of spatter in that very specific spot. I believe that's from holding her, and that perhaps her arm was bleeding. You can see all the pictures on the Today Show where her arms are terribly bloodied and bruised because she's on blood thinners. You know, she has a heart situation. She has a pacemaker. And for those of you who know people, and I'm sure all of you do, that are on blood thinners, that's what their arms look like. And it seems so close to the ground because of how those drips were. And I just truly can see her being carried, her face covered up so they can't see the vehicle or where she's going once she's in this trunk or on the way to the trunk, gets out of the trunk. They want her with something around her face. And that arm was laying down there dripping. And that when he turns and shuts that door, it drips more condensed in that area. That's my thoughts on the subject. I am going to have a crime scene reconstructionist on. I'm so excited about that. I'll let you know. It'll probably be this week. I'll let you know when. It might be during the day as opposed to during the night. A lot of these individuals are tied up in their evenings, but they're loose in their days. So I'm going to put that together. Everybody, I want to thank you. Thank you. I saw somebody became a member, and I wish I could see that again, but I just want to thank you so much for becoming a member. I really appreciate it. I think our memberships are $1.99. We have new merch coming. I'm waiting to get the samples. I haven't gotten them yet. We're going to have a notepad where you can keep notes on different things that you're watching on cases and pens. And then also we're talking about doing a shirt. And so anyway, we have some fun things coming around. So thank you for being here on this Sunday morning. I know hopefully I caught it between the 11 o'clock church and after the 9 o'clock church. Well, 9 o'clock you couldn't have made, 11 o'clock church. For me, we even have Saturday night church as a Catholic. So it's nice, we have a lot of options. But nevertheless, we're in Lent. Keep your yellow on for Nancy. Let's bring her home. Until next time, everyone, may justice be served.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort. And your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever.
Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dix.com/scorecardplus for details.